and welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 132. And with me tonight is Keith Andrew.
Hello.
And John Jordan.
Hello.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Please, you're too kind. I'm going to put crowd noises in there. It'll make sense. Yeah, yes, actually, I might do the booing. Yes, we've got an interesting podcast for you this week. We've got some great news. We got some, it's good quality news, I guess. There's probably going to be an argument. Some new games have been announced, which sound interesting. Lots of new releases again. It's like the moment we started doing the new releases section on the podcast. They just flood out all these new releases. And of course, we've got the reviews coming up at the end of the show. So rather than dilly-dally around here, let's go straight on to the news pod.
News!
Right, first up in the news pod. I don't know.
Who invented that?
Yeah, I know. It sounds wrong.
That's my news pod.
Anyway, yes, so here we are in the news pod. First up is Quarrel by Denki.
Denki,
makers of Denki Blocks. I'm pretty sure you could have guessed that, to be honest. Is back on track. Well, it's back on track to being released. This is, John knows a little bit more, but I'll do a setup. It's essentially it's an anagram strategy game almost. It was originally going to be released on Xbox Live, or am I just making that up?
It was originally developed for Xbox Live Arcade.
But something went wrong. And then all of a sudden they were without a publisher.
I don't think something went wrong. I think something didn't go right, if that's not too obtuse way of doing it. I think basically they funded the development themselves without a publisher in the hope that the genius of the game would obviously have publishers breaking down their door to give them loads of money. But that didn't happen, so they basically ran out of money. It was very sad.
But
they sacked a whole bunch of their developers to go down to like the minimum they had. So I'm not sure they're back up to where they were before, but I think they're kind of building back up to it.
But the good news is it's been picked up by UTV Ignition.
Yes.
And it'll be heading to iOS.
Launching on iOS and then going, as all games do now, everywhere else.
Spreading out, multiplying, colonizing the new platforms.
But isn't odd? I mean, I can kind of see why publishers didn't necessarily rush to pick it up, because it is, you kind of think, a word game. Well, I mean, there's lots of word games out there, but they're not necessarily going to appeal to everyone, are they?
Yeah, it's got an interesting concept behind it, the combination of the word game and the strategy.
Although it seems, I'm not sure how much strategy there is. It seemed kind of quite strategy light.
Well, recently Zynga's Hanging with Friends have been doing very well as a word game. So there's still quite a big market out for them, especially on.
But when you say Zynga does something and it's really big, you kind of give me
that. I knew you were going to say that.
But it's kind of part of the reason, isn't it? I mean, I kind of think it would be. I mean, I don't really know how much multiplayer they're putting in there, so I'm not sure how sticky it would be, and I'm not sure how big an audience they have. Whereas obviously Zynga has zingillions of people that they can advertise. So we'll see. I mean, we wish them all luck.
Yes, indeed.
Playing it, but yes.
Yeah, it looks nice.
No, I mean, this thing with Denki games are always, they kind of sit on the borderline of being so quirky that you kind of think who on earth is this going to appeal to, but always really well kind of presented. So if Denki Blocks was a really good kind of twist on the on a kind of color puzzle kind of game.
And it went surprisingly hard. Best of luck to Denki with that one. Actually, do we know the release date for that?
It's not been announced. I think it's just a summer thing, but I'd kind of imagine in the next month or so.
Summer thing, like swimming pools, outdoor swimming pools and ice cream.
No. What are you going on about?
They're both summer things.
That's what Will does.
Right, yeah, let's move on. Should we start the argument now or should we do it in a bit? No, we'll do it in a bit.
There's going to be an argument. There's going to be no argument.
What do you mean there's not going to be an argument? This is.
There's always an argument.
Yeah.
I don't see it as an argument because I usually win, so I only see my side.
Anyway, we'll leave Keith in his fantasy world and we'll go on to this news story, which is it's the Apple rumor. Yes. Okay, so the latest rumors put the new iPhone 5 at September. Still. No, it was August last time, I think. Anyway, yes, but now the rumors are back saying there's going to be a 4S again.
Yeah, but that, it's not. Yeah, one guy said there's going to be a 4S, and everyone else has kind of gone, well, yeah, there is going to be a 4S, but actually 4S is the name for the next iPhone rather than the small one. And I think they're probably right.
So you don't think it's going to be called the iPhone 5?
Yeah, they're saying it's only going to be a slight update, a bit like 3G to 3GS rather than a big leap, and that this year we'll get iPhone 4S, and next year we'll get iPhone 5, which I think, yeah, I think that's probably more likely thinking about it. The way Apple do things, there's no need for them to do anything particularly flashy or amazing right now because the competition hasn't really caught up, arguably. So they can save their big woo, oh look, it's got no button, whatever, for next year.
I wouldn't say the competition is that far behind in certain aspects.
Well, in terms of actual device sales, they are. I mean, in all the major markets, iPhone is usually the top-selling smartphone, regardless of the fact that Android has a bigger share, obviously, because there are more phones.
Yeah, but that's not a proper comparison, though, is it? Because Android stuff split between so many different, devices.
Well, it depends whether you look at these things as phones or as the entire ecosystem, because it's the whole ecosystem, they can't take on Android because, like I said, there's so many people doing them. But in terms of if you want to say you're the number one phone, and I think that's a good measure because all the different Android phones all offer various different things. That's the stick you go by, and I think they have no need to do anything, a bit like iPad really, they have no need to do anything amazing this year because no one's really catching up with them. So I suspect this year we'll get iPhone 4S and it will be virtually the same as the current one but with a few added knobs and bobs, and then next year we'll get major. That's what all these people are saying now, apart from this one guy who thinks there's going to be a smaller one or whatever.
Yeah,
I think he's probably wrong.
We got to warn listeners that this one guy is an analyst.
They all are, yeah, but they're all just saying blah, blah, blah. I mean, his theory, he has no inside knowledge. Basically, when you read what he said, he's just basically worked out that they could take an iPod Touch, turn it into a phone, and sell it cheaper. And everyone else has gone, well, no, what they'll do is they'll market the 3GS as a budget release instead of actually making an entire new device, which I think is probably more likely. So. No one has any clue. They're always just guessing on what they think would make Apple the most money. So yeah, it's all pretty up in the air.
Well, yeah. So that's the latest rumor. I didn't expect that one to create an argument.
There's no argument.
It was a warm up argument.
No, that's just what everyone was saying, and I think he's probably wrong.
He's not here to argue his case, though.
You're
being very mean.
Whitmore is wrong.
Well, I don't know if he's wrong or not. But all I know is that...
What do you think?
I think we should move on to the next story. Torchwood is getting an iPhone spin-off.
I was going to do a theme tune, then, but I'm not going to.
What is the theme tune for Torchwood?
It's just a load of sharp little violin noises.
Oh, that's probably why I can't remember it. Yes, Torchwood, this is the BBC series spin-off from Doctor Who, is getting an official iOS-only game and a motion comic app.
As far as I understand it, and it wasn't particularly overtly explained, that they are one and the same, I think.
Oh.
So I'm not quite sure what the game aspect is of it. But yes.
You can turn the pages.
No, I think it's slightly more than that. Oh. But it might not be. I mean, I don't know. Basically, I've been at a conference for on Tuesday and Wednesday, up in Newcastle in the UK, and one of the speakers was the guy who, or the newly established post of games director for BBC World. BBC Worldwide, which is the BBC's commercial arm. So he's basically come in from, I think he used to work at EA. He's worked at various places. But anyway, he's come in with like the remit to like look at their licenses that they have. And the biggest ones are kind of Doctor Who and Top Gear and Walking with Dinosaurs, that kind of stuff. And then look how you can make games out of them. So that's kind of his thing. So, and they've got this new Torchwood series, which I think starts very soon. Keith, do you know when it is? It's July, isn't it?
July the, is it 14th?
14th, yep.
I think it launches in America before the UK. So there's there's 10 episodes of this kind of Miracle Day kind of plot thing. And the app's going to be released with the first episode, then there'll be more content released, downloadable. It was done as a free update. I get the impression for each new episode, and it's also in-app purchases to buy new kind of content. So
I mean it's a bit confusing because they'd already said in the US anyway there was going to be a kind of comic app. I'm not sure whether that's the same as this Web of Lies. I'm not sure whether that's the same, whether they're kind of putting it together with some kind of game as well or what.
Well, the last couple of BBC Worldwide games weren't particularly inspiring.
No, they weren't, really. No.
I thought they were... I think you reviewed Doctor Who, didn't you, Keith? And I did Top Gear.
That was bad.
Yeah, Top Gear was rubbish.
It wasn't really anything to do with Doctor Who at all. It was just kind of a bit of a naff.
Top Gear's focus was in the right place. Just the game felt rushed, as licensed games normally do, to be honest.
It was a block pusher. It was Doctor
Who. Yeah, I played the Doctor Who one. I played it at the event that they were launching it. And I had to do my face where you don't show any emotion. Politeness.
I thought that was your normal face. I thought it'd been Botox with you, isn't it?
It hasn't got to the point where it's seized up all my facial muscles. Okay. 92%. Are frozen in place.
You know, there's research has been done that if you have Botox, you actually lose the ability to a small degree of recognizing emotions in other people's faces. Because when you look at people's faces and they're kind of having an emotion, your face kind of tries to mirror it. And obviously, your face, the muscles can't move, so you don't understand as well what's going on. It's true. It's for scientific research.
Sure, it is. It's quite amusing as well. I'm just trying to imagine someone crying and then someone pretending to cry opposite them. Yeah.
It's not a laughing matter, Keith.
Get your lips done next, though, Will. Get some.
Right.
Leslie Ash in there.
Right. Moby Games have got a new game coming out. They've just announced it. It is called Edge Extend. Extended. I don't know what happened there. It's probably the Botox. I lost the last part of that word. It's not meant to be. It's not meant to be exactly like Edge, is it? It's not an expansion pack. It's an actual new game. Apparently it's very different from Edge, in fact. But it's not Edge 2.
They're making most of the Edge name now they can.
Yeah, they've basically said the word Edge about four times in a row. It's very different levels than the original Edge. Edge Extended is not Edge 2. Actually, I think that's partially Rob's fault there. It's got 40 levels. We don't really know what it's going to be like, but I expect it's going to feature a cube.
I'm sold.
Or maybe if it's extended, it might not be a cube. It might be a rectangle, mightn't it?
Clever.
No, I'm off it now. I don't like rectangles.
I didn't like Edge. I've already told you
not?
This. No, I don't like it.
I thought it was good. I don't think it was amazing, but I thought it was good. I think he obviously got a lot of pushing for what happened, but I thought it was certainly presentation-wise, was at the time, was kind of far and above a lot of what other people do.
I found it just a bit clunky. I don't know. I never got around. I never got
a bit rubbish at it, but you know, I am with most games, to be honest. So.
Yeah, I don't know. It just did never clicked with me. But anyway, it clicked with a lot of people, so look out for that. We don't know any release date, don't know any details, but there you go. You know its name, like James Bond.
Well, it's coming this summer.
Oh, whoa!
This summer.
Yeah. Like ice cream and open. Never mind. Right. Oh yeah, there's that story. Okay. Next story is one with features our friends at Sony. In an interview, Sony of America, yeah, SCEA CEO.
It's your good friend Jack.
Jack Tretton. Like the name.
He's rocking the comb over there.
Yeah, he's got that comb over going right over. yes. Well, our headline says that he sees the App Store as an opportunity, not a threat. And I know this is going to cause consternation among my two companions.
In the nation.
Yeah.
What's consternation?
Consternation.
I don't think it's consternation. No, it's just it's interesting. It's a factor, and it's not just about this story, but it's an interesting factor about how kind of internet journalism works. And I mean, the other interesting one that happened recently was the interview with the CEO of Take-Two, where he was asked lots of various things, and the thing that we all kind of focused on was there was a question that was asked him about why they weren't doing more kind of iPhone games. And he said, "Well, we did GTA Chinatown Wars. Chinatown Wars, and it did very well, but it's not financially viable enough. There's not enough volume in that market to sell at whatever they sold at, like $10. So the next question was, well, with tablets, you think you can get up to $20, $30, or $40, blah, blah, blah. And so he answered very generally. He didn't mention didn't really mention tablets, or didn't really mention price points. And of course, all the headlines were
$40 tablet games.
Exactly. CEO Take-Two says $40 tablet games are whatever, you know. Apart from we didn't write that, of course, because we're kind of clever like that. But I think
we've written this one, though. You basically just said, yeah, internet journalism is a bit crap. Well, we as a group, and that's aimed at this story.
I just think it's basically what happens is someone writes some sort of interesting, you know, kind of interview that has many different points to it, and then people then have to find, you know, people from then other journalists from other websites find an angle to see how. So because we just cover mobile gaming or pocket gaming, you know, there might be an interview with Will Wright about loads of stuff, but I mentioned something about mobile and we'll take that bit out. So you kind of tend to find these things get kind of pulled apart a little bit, and that does give you an out of context kind of thing. And no one really looks to see what the actual quotes are, and it kind of has a life of its own, people reporting off what, you know, get tertiary reporting and whatever. So
to be fair, though, I think the opportunity part comes from the quote, for every consumer... From every consumer you lose to a tablet or smartphones, there are three consumers that might become interested in gaming in a simple form. And these people might be able to migrate into a sophisticated gamer.
That was the kind of the attitude of what he was saying. We've got the word opportunity there later on, but what he was basically saying was the same as what Microsoft used to say about Wii, is that people would play on these simple games for so long, and then they'd want something meaty. And he basically kind of in the interview compares it to someone recording something on their camcorder with a full blown film in the cinema, and he, you know, he's basically saying Sony will offer the full-blown movie, whereas you're just getting these cheap little films on mobile. It was quite disappointing, a load of quotes, really. So I don't know, it's interesting this kind of the headline we've got is more of a positive take on what he said, which I don't think really rings true when you read what kind of entirety what he said about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and even more generally, what I think is interesting is there still is this kind of there is this inherent kind of problem, maybe the wrong word, but there's an inherent barrier that people from, you know, it's people like Take-Two or Sony, I mean, maybe less so with Microsoft now, but probably more people within Xbox probably will be within Microsoft, where they do genuinely think that mobile gaming is a kind of lower type of gaming. I mean, it's the same, they have the same attitude with the Zynga stuff, you know, they genuinely think that this is you know, secondary gaming. It's not the true experience. And you know, what we need is we need to have, you know, that true experience on mobile. And I think they get really confused by pricing, because obviously pricing is the reason those guys don't get involved in it at the moment, because it's very hard to make, you know, for them to make money when they're, some of their salaries are like, you know, maybe the lead artist or something is on $100,000 a year. I mean, it's impossible for a team of five or six people in Sony to make an iPhone game that will make money. It's very difficult, you know. So there is that issue. But I think the wider issue is they genuinely have a problem with people just, you know, having entertainment rather than what we would maybe see as sitting down with God of War and playing it for an hour or 10 hours or whatever. You know, they just genuinely, that's not in their DNA. They just really don't understand it.
But I mean, what's worrying about the whole thing is I got quite excited about PS Vita, because it kind of seemed to me when they announced it that they'd kind of learned their lesson, because a lot of as like I've reported quite a bit that the PSP's advertising in America was all literally saying how rubbish iPhone was, and it was really kind of inadvisable and really didn't work. And I kind of hope that they've, rather than dismissing it, have looked at it and thought about how they can best take advantage of it. Whereas this kind of quote he says here suggests that within Sony there's still this attitude that really it's more of a nuisance than something they actually need to address. Mm.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't sound like the attitude's changed that much in the last decade to mobile gaming from the home console crowd.
I mean, I do think it is interesting, because they have basically, you look at even 5 years ago, they basically, you know, those guys ruled the roost. You know, the Sony's and Microsoft's. You know, and then now you look, okay, I'm not saying mobile games is particularly, okay, we don't know how big it is, but, you know, it's not huge money. But if you look at social games, you know, that's an audience that those guys could have got into, you know, in a way. And just attitudinally, they've not been able to kind of appreciate what's going on there. So, you know, what they're seeing, you're seeing the console market. It's actually at this conference, someone invented, it's quite a clever term, actually. You know, you have the term peak oil, so this assumption that at some point, you know, the production of oil will peak and there won't be any more. I mean, obviously very political and controversial, but so he came up with this concept of peak console, which is kind of like, you know, and he basically said, you know, he's an analyst, and he said he thought it happened, so that the money that goes through, that pays for content on consoles has peaked, you know, it's going down now, and that's partly because of stuff like mobile and partly because of stuff like casual games on Facebook. So they're kind of fighting a bit of a losing, not a losing battle, but they're fighting for a declining market share.
Well, moving on from that, we will go to a bit of a light-hearted news story to finish this news section. it is the sales. It's Independence Day coming up soon in America, so that means lots of people have put stuff on sale. We haven't seen EA Mobile do it yet. We almost guarantee EA are going to do it.
Well, they'll all announce stuff probably tomorrow, like, you think? Friday and
it's a long weekend there, isn't it?
Independence Day's Monday, isn't it? So, yeah.
Yeah. So Game Loft are out of the gates already. They've reduced their titles to 59p 99 cents. This includes Asphalt 6, Adrenaline, which is all right. I'm doing my mini reviews again. Nova 2, which is all right. Dragon Hunter 2, which is really good. I like that game. Sacred Odyssey Rise of Aiden, which has a stupid name. I haven't played it yet, actually, Sacred Odyssey. Oh, no, wait. No, I did. I haven't played it much. Shrek Kart. I haven't played Shrek Kart. That was meant to be all right at the time of release. I don't know if it will match up to a game we're going to talk about a bit later, eh, Keith? Huh?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. Starfront Collision, which is, it's very good, actually. I like that one. That's the iPhone. iPad, we've got Sacred Odyssey again, Starfront Collision HD, Asphalt 6 Adrenaline, Dungeon Hunter 2 HD, Nova 2 HD, Shrek Kart HD. So that's basically the same games again, but in HD. But they're all 59p. So that's good. If you missed out on any of Game Loft's other 4,000 sales, then there you go. You can pick them up now. Who else has put on stuff on sale? Well, Kairosoft put Game Dev Story on sale, but that's not for Independence Day. That's just because their latest games come out, and I'll talk about that later. What is it reduced to? Sorry, I was going to skip through it, and then I realised that I haven't said the price yet. What is it? It is down to £1.19 or $1.99. What else have we got here? Ooh. Zenbounds. Both the Zenbound games have been reduced. and Adult Swim have reduced their games as well. Let me just check all the prices.
I think Trucks and Skulls is going free.
I
think so, yeah. That's what I've heard.
Well, that's a good one to download. Zenbound's games are 59p 99 cents to July the 11th. Well, the Zenbound games. It's not Zenbound's games, not the developer. And Adult Swim have got Amateur Surgeon 2, Robot Unicorn Attack, Robot Unicorn Attack Heavy Metal Edition. You should all have Robot Unicorn Attack. It's great. Amateur Surgeon is pretty good as well. Spell My Finger. My Little Bastard. Floater Pro. Meow Scenaries.
You've made Keith explode.
I'm looking at the screen waiting for him to read that one out. I don't know why. Carry on.
5 minutes to kill brackets yourself. Reloaded. 5 minutes to 5 minutes to kill brackets yourself. Wedding Day. And on the iPad, it's Robot Unicorn Attack HD and Amateur Surgeon iPad Edition. All the games, 59p. But they won't be 59p always. Forever. They won't be always 59p. Sorry, I messed that one up. Anyway, let's erase that and go on to the new releases. This week on the new releases, we're Cody, we're bandits, and we're agents.
I don't know about these introductions well. I'm not sure about these.
What do you mean you're not sure about them?
They just seem to be random words to me.
They're not random. They'll make sense as we go through it. Right, so first up on the new releases this week is the very oddly priced Street Fighter 4 Volt. Oddly priced, yeah. They're gradually increasing the cost a bit over 6 days. So it starts off at 59p, or it did. That was yesterday.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then it increases in the Apple pricing amounts each day. Mm-hmm. Until it
That's
reaches...
quite good. That's quite good. Because as soon as you hear about it, you're like a bit pissed off. You could have got it cheaper, but you know you've got to buy it now. I can kind of see how that works. So even until it gets to the final price, you're still like, if you hear about it on the last day, you're still like, oh, I can get it a bit cheaper now. So...
Yeah, it's quite weird. So Street Fighter 4 Volt, it's got 17 brawlers. It's got everyone's favourites, like Balrog and Vega now join the cast, and Cody. And you got online multiplayer, online multiplayer with over Wi-Fi, which is the big draw, really. Yes, and it started off at 59p on release. I don't know when, if you're listening to this next week or next Thursday, then it'll be $3.99 or $6.99. But yes, it looks good, obviously. So if you really miss the online element from the previous Street Fighter, then yes, get it. Color Bandits. See, Cody, we're bandits. And we're agents, and you'll find out the agents bit in a minute.
I know, I just don't, yeah. I'm not going to go down this street.
Color Bandits is the Chillingo game of the week.
Only one.
Is it only one? Did you just say?
Only one from Chillingo. Usually, there's about seven or eight, isn't it?
No, there's a few. I thought Will was suggesting it was his favourite one of the week.
Oh, I see.
There more? I thought there was only one.
There's definitely more than one.
Well, I'm only going to talk about one. okay,
there's Color Bandits, there's Pinata Smash.
Oh, yeah, Pinata Smash. Mm. Well, that's not even been put on the midweek releases page. What's that all about?
They've only just press released it, that's why.
Okay, fair enough.
I quite like the look of this, though. This is quite good.
Yeah, Color Bandits, 59p, 99 cents. Why isn't it on ClickGamer, then? Never mind. An evil steampunk bandit has stolen all your colour, and it's your job to retrieve. Well, from your world, and it's your job to retrieve it. There's six different worlds, lots of enemies. It seems to be a side-scrolling shoot 'em up-y game. It looks quite good. It's got an interesting looking control layout where it's a slider on the left-hand side of the screen and a disc where you rotate. Oh, it's a little bit like the virtual joysticks, but nicely designed to fit in with the art style, which is interesting. It's like a hand-drawn steampunk-esque look to it. Yeah, looks intriguing. That one's yours for 59p99.
A lot of colour wrong though, but you know, we won't go down that route.
They have spelt colour wrong.
Yeah.
You know, you can't have colour without you, Keith.
Words.
Can't have honour without you, John. Could go on like this for hours. Puzzle Agent 2 is out now. It is Telltale's sequel to their Puzzle Agent game, which I haven't played. Yes, it's sort of like a Professor Layton-esque sort of thing, more than a point and click, in which you still point and press, but most of the time you're solving one-off puzzles to get further in the plot. So there's sliding frickin' block puzzles and other less infuriatingly, why do they put those in? Annoying puzzles. But yeah, the plot revolves around an FBI agent from the puzzle department. Is going to investigate weird happenings in Minnesota.
The art style's nice.
The art style is good. But I'm going to talk more about this later because I have been playing it this week.
Everyone looks a bit gormless. I like it.
Yeah, it sort of reminds me of a 70s like European cartoon that you'd accidentally see in the morning when they couldn't, like, when they needed something cheap to play before all the American expensive cartoons started. And it's quite surreal. I'll talk about it later. But anyway, Puzzle Agent 2, it's available for $2.99 or $4.99. Or you can pick it up on your iPad for $3.99 or $6.99. MapleStory Cygnus Knights Edition. This is the second MapleStory game to appear on the iPhone. Side-scrolling grind 'em up, as I'm going to call them from now on. Because, I mean, role-playing games suggest you play a role, really. But, yeah, these sort of games are very much grindy. So, yes, you can pick between a Dawn Warrior or a Blaze Wizard. The Wizard is a woman. Red-haired girl. and the Soul Master is some little child with blonde hair. I never get on with MapleStory's art style, to be honest. I much prefer...
It looks a bit sickly to me.
Yeah, it's all a bit... Yeah. I much prefer... Doofus does a similar sort of thing, but his art style is much more characterful. And more original, and just nicer. Anyway, there's lots of MapleStory fans out there, so I won't insult your game too much. It's not like the full PC version of MapleStory. It is a platform... side-scrolling RPG. So yes, it's $2.99. Well, so is the original, but this one's not. Anyway, you know what I mean. It's cut down. It's not an MMO. It's $2.99 or $4.99 in dollars.
Have you finished? There's a few more. I've just bought two more.
Yeah, I haven't finished yet.
I haven't finished. Okay, sorry. Finished yet?
No. How do you say this?
The second one.
Cavorite. Anyway.
Well, it's favourite with C, isn't it?
Cavorite. Cavorite. It's not favourite because it doesn't have the U.
I can't spell.
Yes, this is it's a sort of platform puzzler. It's done in the style of a sort of 16-bit graphics, set inside the moon where you're held captive by evil things called Selenites. Oh, it's just filled with words that I don't like saying. Anyway, you have a anti-gravity spray, and there are 63 levels with basically puzzles, moving lots of crates. Mark Brown was playing this earlier in the week, and he said he really liked it. So... I don't know how much weight that holds. If you buy it now and find out that it's crap, then you feel free to email Mark on mark@. yes, it costs £1.19 and $1.99 in dollars. Yes, Cargo Runners. This one looks more like my kind of game, to be honest. It's a board game for 2 to 4 players. I haven't heard of Cargo Runners. Maybe I have.
Good, doesn't it? Look good.
Yeah, it does look good. I remember a friend used to really love a board game where you used to ship cargo around the world. It might be that one. Had lots of pieces. You had each individual cargo thing you had to put on your ships. Like, they're really tiny wooden cargo blocks. Anyway, Cargo Runners on the iPad. I believe it's on the iPad. Must be. Anyway, it looks like it's a 2-4 game, 2-4 player game. It's meant to take 30 minutes to complete. It probably does, actually, if you're on a computer. It probably takes about 2 hours when you're playing on the board game. But yes, you're picking up cargo, selling stuff, picking up contracts. There are 30 ports across the world, 6 different types of goods, and there's random elements such as weather and other stuff like that, and events. And it is available for $4.99 or $7.99 in dollars. That's probably why I haven't bought it yet, because it's quite expensive. And yes, it is on the iPad. Ah, shame. If it had been, like, I don't know, $2.99, I'd probably bought that. Anyway, Postal Panic. Oh, geez, this is a good... Oh, I told you about the new releases. We've got 3 more to go through. Postal Panic. It doesn't look very good, does it?
Leave it there. That's what I said.
Yeah, move on.
Rubbish. Forget that game. Mooniacs. This is a bit of a bit of a controversial one.
Ages.
Yes, yeah. It was previously known as Moonsters, but Capcom. No, Namco Bandai. I always presume Capcom for some reason when it comes to weird sort of re-releasing. Anyway, Namco Bandai are the ones who are releasing it this time, and they've taken the old version off the shelf and put up this one. It's a physics thing where you find space tofu or tofu.
Again, quite nice. You kind of flick things around, but it's you only get one flick. That's the odd thing.
It's not like in real life when you get as many flicks as you like.
Well, you kind of think, I can understand. John, Keith.
It reminds me of something else, but I can't think what the hell it was. But I've reviewed something very like that, but not that.
The problem is you get one flick, but because the level's so big that you can't see it all, so you're basically like just guessing for ages. It's just, I think that kind of game you need more than one flick. That would be my cunning.
A lot of flicks required. Anyway, yes, there are three endings and all that jazz. It's available for £1.19, $1.99. Final game, finally, this week on the new releases is James Pond in the Deathly Shallows. It is a new game starring everyone's favourite Amiga fish protagonist, James Pond, and lover of puns. It looks more like it's styled after the original game, not Robocod, in which you're going to be swimming forward, shooting things. Oh, I didn't like the original James Bond very much. So you can almost hear my enthusiasm draining.
It's kind of one of those games that you kind of expected would have been happily long lost.
Yeah.
Really. So like, it's not, what have we got to bring back? Oh, we've got to bring back old Pondy.
Oh, yeah, bang out another Pond. Yeah, but wheel him out. He'll be all right.
It couldn't have worked anywhere else apart from the UK, could it? Let's face it, with a terrible name like that.
Yeah. Robocod was good because I liked its remix of the Robocop theme tune.
Yeah.
And the Robocop theme tune is amazing. Yeah, anyway, if you've got fond memories of James Pond, unlike me and John, then you can get it now for 59p or 99 cents. And that is it for new releases. Jeez,
I got some more.
Oh, no. Well, you're doing
that.
Really quickly.
I'm exhausted.
I'll do them.
All right, go on.
So we've got the Top Trumps game, which is another very UK-centric kind of thing. But Top Trumps Collection is out, which is a free free release where you can play on the dinosaur pack. And then there's in-app purchases for, talking of, James Bond again. So James Bond characters and I think supercar characters as well, which are in-app purchases. Or you can buy them as separate apps on their own. I don't know why I've done it that way. But the basic dinosaur pack is free. So that's kind of interesting. I used to play a lot of Top Trumps when I was small, and in fact there will be at some point, we hope, a Pocket Gamer curated Legends of iOS pack that will be cards based on top iPhone games.
So, ooh,
Yes, yes, but that's not a... It's kind of officially announced, but it's still work in progress. Yes.
Wait.
Sorry?
You just basically officially announced it there.
Well, no, we wrote about it on Biz before.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically it's being curated by us and OpenFaint. So we're kind of choosing what we think are the 30 or so best iPhone just iPhone games that would be cards. And we're ranking them with, like, when they were released and how many countries they were in the top 10 in and their quality index score, those kind of things, you know.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And the final one is Cityville. Cityville has a mobile release, which is not obviously the entirety of Cityville, the Facebook game, but is a mobile version that connects to it called Cityville Hometown. So, yeah.
So basically it'll be downloaded like hotcakes.
I would think so. Yeah, it's kind of interesting because for a long time...
Wait, hang on. That didn't work, did it? They can't really say downloaded like hotcakes. Downloaded like Angry Birds.
We've wondered for a long time why Zynga hasn't done more mobile games, and now suddenly it's had Hanging with Friends, and now it's got Cityville Hometown. So I wonder whether Frontierville and all these other ones will start appearing. We wait and see.
It'd be good if they... No, actually, I wouldn't. I'm not going to go down that route. I was going to say something which basically came up with Villaville and stuff like this. But anyway, I'm not going to do it because it's not good enough. Oh, I'm so knackered off that new releases. Anyway, I'm not drinking this week. I'm on a
you
coffee.
Neither, actually.
Yeah.
Exactly the same. Isn't that weird?
It's sapping my energy.
Yeah, I'm quite, you know, thoroughly bored by the whole thing.
Anyway, let's pick it up. Let's go for it. Let's go to the what we've been playing fields.
What we've been playing!
I'm going to go first, because that means I can have a nap while you two talk. I have been playing Kairosoft's latest game, which is Pocket Academy, not Story. It's just Pocket Academy. In this one, you manage a school. It's a bit of an abstract school. If I'm being quite honest with you, school is kind of... It's only just a school. You're meant to... obviously, the grand aim of the thing is to make a successful school, which is up on number one on the league tables, producing star students and producing the world, you know, the nation's next doctors and highly intelligent people. But you do this by building classrooms and facilities like water fountains and playing fields and stuff like this. And then at the start of each semester, the students all go into the classrooms and like the teachers turn up. And then they all just walk about. And that's it. And then they will get to the end of the... Like, they'll just mill about. They'll go to like the... fields outside and they'll do a bit of athletics if they feel like it, or walk back to the classroom. But things are happening. This is what it's meant to do. Because like the teachers mill about and they go to the facilities and they increase your research points, which are the equivalent of the game completion thing that you got in Game Dev Story, or I can't remember the one in Hot Springs. But anyway, yes, so you'll get all this will go up, but they don't actually go to a classroom and teach. So it's kind of surreal watching them all just walk about the corridors. It's even more weird that they have a farm on their school. I mean, my school did have a farm, but we were in the country.
It's not weird at all, then, is it?
Well, it's a bit weird for most people, I'd have thought. Did any of your two schools have a farm?
No, what, actually on the school?
Not on the school, but, you know, on the school grounds, yeah.
Around it, yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, I know part of the school was, like, an area for, like, farm animals. Did you have that? No, see, it's not common. Yes, so it's a bit surreal. It also doesn't really tell you what you're meant to be, or what you should be doing. Not meant to be doing, you kind of know that, but what you should be doing. So the first game you'll play on it, you'll like employ teachers, because you know one teacher for a school isn't, that's not going to work. Pro tip, yes it does in this case. And you'll employ another teacher and you'll build facilities and you'll put down research, and then you'll be absolutely broke before the end of the year because the tuition fees don't cover even the rent on your facilities that you start with. So much like real life. So don't do that. Don't do my mistake and you'll start again and you'll realize that basically the first half an hour of gameplay is not doing much at all. Otherwise you'll mess up your game. which is disappointing in a way. But once it gets going, once you get to the point where you have students in these third year and you have all these different classrooms and your school's expanded out and you're getting all like the special events just kicking off and you've got your favorite student who really wants to be a doctor and you're pushing him to like you're getting extra items onto him to make sure he can pass at the end of the third year, stuff like this. And it's like, it's actually really good. And once again, you lose many hours. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a good game. I just think that the introduction period is going to be a bit harsh. So put up that and you'll find a good game waiting for you there. Quickly, the second game I want to talk about is Puzzle Agent 2. But I haven't played the original yet, so I can't give a proper review yet. I'm going to sit down with the original tonight as I mix this podcast so I can compare. So my opinion on this might change between now and the written article, so don't take my words as gospel here. Not like you do normally anyway. But yes, Puzzle Agent 2, I liked it. I thought it was very good. Looking at the screenshots, I thought I wouldn't, because what I heard of it is it's a Professor Layton sort of style game, and the screenshots make it look a bit, you know, naff, if in a way. I don't really like the style of the drawing. But actually, in motion, and with the sound, and with the voice acting is really good, and the script's quite interesting. I'm a little bit lost of the plot, because I didn't know what happened in the first game. So if you haven't played that one, with puzzle, you will get through it, but like, I think you need to know more about the characters by playing the first game. But it's actually quite good. There isn't the puzzles themselves, I need to check if they're repeated, but the ones I played were pretty good. They were interesting sort of mix. There was a sliding blocks puzzle, but thank God it didn't pop up that often. And even then, it was quite an original sliding blocks puzzle where you have to rearrange furniture around a room to block light from getting in so you can get from one place to another. It wasn't just like a standard multicolored blocks. But yeah, no, it's quite interesting. And there's barely any animation really, but the way the art design and the animation and the voice acting and the music all work together, it creates a very good, it's a strong and consistent atmosphere, which made me like the art, even though I didn't like it in screenshots. And it's quite fun. And the controls are the sort of thing I would expect Telltale to use in all their iPad and iPhone touch and point and touch games, because when you press your finger down on the screen, it makes a ripple emerge, and for about a few inches, well, about an inch or two, and any item that can be interacted with or any secret hint item that you can find is highlighted as long as it's within that ripple.
Okay.
And it's so much easier than just prodding around or like going through an inventory and all that crap. And it feels really intuitive and it's really good to use. So yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I don't know what score I'm going to give it yet, because obviously I need to check how different it is from the first game, which I don't think it's going to be that different. But but yes, I'm enjoying it and it's going to get a good score, I think. There you go. That's my two games. Who wants to go next? Don't all shout at once.
You don't usually ask.
All right, John.
Me? Okay.
I'll save a big game for last.
As is typically my want. I've been not playing many games because I've been at a conference. Kind of touching on a few, I guess. I mean, it's one I mentioned last week, which is it's a very kind of slight game in a way. It's called Tiny Lights. And it's actually developed by one of the couple of companies who are up in Newcastle. So I actually kind of bumped into them while I was up in Newcastle. It's very, very simple. If you knew what you were doing, you could kind of rush through it in probably about half an hour. Because basically all you're doing is kind of a very slight, not really an RPG. It's more a kind of typical RPG kind of atmosphere where you're in a village and some evil person has stolen some random mystic thing, what's it, and put it in the deep dark forest. So you have to kind of set off to go and find it. And you basically just wander around and you're this kind of abstract kind of little light figure who's like a little red light figure, and you go off and you meet a green one and you all have different powers and you end up with like five of them, and some of them are like fighting ones, or one of them's a fighting one, one of them's like a mystic one who can kind of unlock magic doors, and one of them can find gold and all kinds of, and it, but I mean it's very, if you were really
one of them can find gold,
well yeah, well you go around pick finding treasure, and he, quite like what you were saying, when you put your finger on him, he emits like radio waves, red radio waves, and it kind of shows. The whole thing is, if you were really hardcore about it, you would say it's very generic and basic. You know, there's nothing new in there, and it's literally, as I say, it doesn't take very much to do, and you can't really die, and you kind of, you know, there's lots of things you could complain about, but just the overall atmosphere is just, I found anyway, just very kind of pleasant. You just kind of go at your own pace. You don't really get confused too much. You know, 99 cents. You know, usual kind of thing. Or you can play all the way through on the there's a flash version on the website, which is exactly the same. So I've kind of quite enjoyed that. I'm not quite finished it yet. But that's kind of interesting. And there's kind of similar in a way is a game called Orbital Defender, which again is. As you can maybe imagine with the name Orbital Defender, it's basically you're defending the Earth, and you're like a satellite that actually spins around the Earth, and kind of things, asteroids and things come towards it, and you have to kind of defend the Earth, that being the whole kind of thing of the game. But what's interesting is as you move around the Earth, if you basically tap on things, or you basically tap on the screen to fire in that direction. If you tap somewhere when you're behind the Earth, and you effectively you're shooting through the Earth, obviously you kind of end up destroying it. So it's kind of it's quite a mechanic where you have to basically just the rotation's quite fast, so it's not like you're waiting for ages. But you kind of tap through, and then it's got a reasonable kind of power up system where you get missiles, and then you get homing missiles where you can kind of draw all the powers of them. And I mean, graphically it's awful. I mean, graphically it's really not a very impressive game, but it's just one where kind of the atmosphere was kind of I quite enjoyed it. I mean, he wasn't doing anything amazing or groundbreaking, but just you know sometimes I don't know, you just want a game where you're not going to play it for vast amounts of time, but it was enjoyable. And the final one, which I've only really played a tiny little bit on, which I kind of just quite like the idea of, is Burn the City, which is, I mean, kind of very much in the Angry Birds kind of scheme of things, where it's a physics trajectory game, and you're this big kind of like monster, and you're basically destroying cities. So it's very similar. You basically you're just kind of instead of pulling back to fire the birds, you're kind of dragging forward to breathe fire over them. Again, completely unoriginal, but yeah, it's quite nicely done. It's not, you know. So those are my three. None of them are going to amaze you, but I think you they're all 99 cents. So
59p.
So I think you would enjoy the experience if you just kind of like let's kind of try these things out. So it's my three.
Thank you, John. Keith. Right.
Hello.
We've been saving this.
Well, I think this has been a bit of a record-breaking week for me. The last few days, I've been ridiculously positive about all the games I've played, which really doesn't happen. I usually give everything 3 out of 10, but this last few days, I've actually given things good scores. Like Pudding Panic here, which is a bizarre setting of controlling what looks like a lump of jelly riding around a ghost train.
What's its name again, sorry?
Pudding Panic.
Pudding Panic, okay.
Pudding Panic. Yep.
Pudding Panic. But really, basically what it is you don't actually control the pudding himself. He rides around in a cart, and you can alter the track beneath. So he's going around this ghost train, and basically you have to alter the track so that A, he avoids a lot of the ghoulish kind of scary things that are also going around on the track, and B, makes it to the exit. But it gradually gets more complex, and lots of bits of the tracks are locked off. So you have to collect keys, or you have to flip switches, which then open up the rest of the track. And then you then actually have to start controlling more the movements of your enemies. So you start having to look ahead and changing the track so they're diverted away. And what's the best thing about it, really, is when you actually think about what you're doing, it's really quite complex, but it manages to break it down as you go. So you're kind of on board the whole way through, and you don't get left behind. And aside from all that, it's got a really nice kind of just the nuttiness of it, this ghost train and this pudding going around on this ghost train. But it was very, very good. I gave that a 9. I was very impressed with that. And then we have in
you surely can't get any better than a 9.
Not usually in my scale, no. But in 4 years, my first ever 10 on Pocket Gamer. Went to Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing, which, as anyone who listened last week would know, I wasn't particularly enthralled about having to review
Yeah, didn't we both have a good old
The screenshots looked a bit naff, but actually I think there were just quite a few bad screenshots, because some of the other screenshots look good, and in motion it looks very good, in fact. So so it's, you know, there's no escape from that. It's Mario Kart with Sonic and his pals and a lot of other Sega characters, but they've managed to kind of pay homage to that enough, but also fit it to suit the more speed kind of induced element of Sonic, and it works really well. The courses are perfectly balanced. Some of them are quite short and tight. Some of them are quite lengthy and more expansive. The controls are absolutely perfect. I've never played a race where the balance of the accelerometer controls are that well pitched. And really, just the fact that you've got some tracks from Jet Set Radio with the music playing in the background, and you're riding around Sonic, which seems quite odd, but then suddenly the next course you're in Samba de Amigo, and then it the whole variety of it, it's really quite loud, and it's a real kind of confident game. And what really made me think it was probably 10 out of 10 material was it's the first game I've ever played on iPhone where I forgot I was playing on iPhone. And okay, you could have easily had a, you know, aside from the fact you're not holding a joypad, but it really is as full of experience as you'll get on, you know, a console. And it's just a very, very, very polished thing. So, yeah, heartily recommend it.
I had a go on it the other night.
Yeah?
Mm.
And?
Well, what do you think?
I couldn't comment well.
No, I liked it. It was good.
Oh, that's good.
I needed to calibrate the tilt a little bit for me. I'm running on an older iPod, so it wasn't running overly smoothly, but it didn't matter too much. But I think it affected how much I had to tilt it, because I had to do a sort of 90 degree to actually get it to turn.
Well, it's kind of more like a steering wheel rather than kind of tipping. So it kind of, I felt, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm luxurious playing on my fourth gen iPod, but I felt it kind of really, I wasn't, as I usually am with most rain, it's finding myself driving into walls or not turning at all. This really kind of, for me, got the balance spot on. So,
well, it's good though, because it does have a very good calibration area anyway, so you can, even if it doesn't sit well with you initially, you can change the calibration pretty much.
Yeah. All right, and of course there's online and
all the challenges as well.
Yeah, the separate little quest, kind of mission mode, which
loads
is just
of, like, unlockable characters.
And just the whole presentation of it, it feels very Sega, feels very console. It really doesn't feel as if you're playing you know, a lot of these games that come out on console and then you get an iPhone version, where they really are kind of shadow versions of what's on the console. This could stand alone as a just a really good carding game. So
yeah, so you heard it here, listeners. 10 out of 10.
Have a little fanfare there.
We do not normally hand those scores out. For good reason. Every time we hand one out, something bad happens in this world. Something very bad. Yes, but we'll say no more about the ancient evil that we have unleashed. Yes, thank you very much for joining us this week, listeners. Why are you laughing? Is it just because we've now moved back into...
You've switched back into professional mode, yeah.
We've just been discussing how we're going to record next week's podcast, if you want to know. Yes, next week we're going to be recording the podcast from the editorial conference, the summer editorial conference, hopefully. We are going to be getting some new equipment in and doing all that jazz to make sure that we can do that. So hopefully we'll have a podcast for you next week, hopefully. In any case... Even if we don't, we wish you the very best of luck with the exam you've got. And don't worry about it, Carl.
I thought you were going to say Merry Christmas or something.
It's the wrong time of year. Yes, so Emma and Carl, don't worry about it. You're fine. You'll be all right. I've been Will Wilson, and he's been Keith Andrew, that one there.
Yeah, there's one.
And John Jordan, where is he? Oh, there he is, just there. John!
Yeah, oh, sorry, yeah, hello.
John, how you doing, mate?
Oh, goodbye.
All right, yes, we've been Pocket Gamers iPod and, no, iPhone and iPad gaming podcast team. Goodbye, have a good time.